We left off yesterday. We were discussing the implications of our Gemara in terms of an overall understanding of what exactly Pidyon Hekdesh and Pidyon Maaseh Sheni are all about. So our Gemara linked together the idea of being Kona Nisha, the idea of Kinyan for Kiddushin, which is of course part of regular Pashta Kinyanim, together with the Din of being Poda Maaseh Sheni and Hekdesh, to the extent that the Gemara was willing to derive and to refute back and forth Kal Vachomer. We're trying to ascertain whether Kesef is more effective than Shtar or Shtar is more effective than Kesef. One of the proofs that the Gemara brings is from the area of Pidyon Maaseh Sheni. So the question becomes, how is that a proof to anything? If Pidyon Maaseh Sheni is not related to Kinyanim, so the fact that Pidyon Maaseh Sheni can be done through Kesef and not through Shtar, how does that impact on the efficiency of one Kinyan over the other? So we quoted from Reb Chaim yesterday. Reb Chaim in a sefer in the Rambam writes, you see from our Gemara, that Pidyon Maaseh Sheni, Pidyon Hekdesh, is not just Issur Heter. It's much more than that. It's definitely Derech HaKinyanim. And ultimately, the reason why the Hekdesh of the Maaseh Sheni becomes Chulin is because you were Kone, means you gave money, not all that different than buying a car, than buying a house. Buying a car in a Torah, Metalatlin, but buying a house, even Lemaise. So that was the Yisod that Reb Chaim developed for us yesterday. So the problem is that there's a Gemara that we spoke a little bit about. We introduced the end of the Shia yesterday about Metzia Daf and Beis that has a somewhat of a different halacha. It's hard for us exactly to understand this din, but one thing about this din doesn't bode well for this yisod, and that is a statement of Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah from Metzia Daf and Beis told us that if you have Maaseh Sheni she'ein bo shev pruta, so that's a problem. If the Maaseh Sheni is not worth a pruta, how can you be paid it? So Chizkiyah said, no problem. As long as you have Moser Rishonis, as long as you have previous money that you use to begin to be Poder, so then you can kind of, this is kind of schlep along, this can kind of drag along. You have a couple of extra prutas left in that quarter that we spoke about yesterday, so then no problem, you take that half pruta worth of Maaseh Sheni and stick it in, and falls on the, you know, on the coattails of the original pigeon, and that would be okay. So the question is, how does that halacha sit with what we've been talking about in terms of Pidyon Hekdesh, Pidyon Maaseh Sheni, being Betoras Kinyan, not so much Betoras Issur Heter. So the background to this kasha is found in a discussion that Reb Chaim had together with Reb Chanan. Reb Chanan, one of the Talmidim of Reb Chaim. So Reb Chanan, in his Kovet Shiurim, in the 12th of Ramakom, quotes a whole mamasha, word-for-word discussion that he had with Reb Chaim about this very Nakuda. In order for us to appreciate the discussion, we need one more piece of information. So we have Agamar, that's one major, that's pivotal piece of information. Agamar is indicating that Pidyon and Kinyon are really synonymous. We have this din of Chizkiyah and Metzia that we're not quite sure what to do with it, but it's potentially going to raise a red flag in terms of the Pidyon-Kinyon equation. And then there's a third part, which is based on a sugya that we've spoke about in the past, that was actually quoted a little bit earlier in Rebbe Chanan, but for whatever reason, I didn't put that part on the Maamar. It could be it was a much longer piece. I don't remember anymore why I didn't put that particular kud on. So we'll say this part by Alper. It's something that we've spoken about in the past. There is a famous sugya by Metzia, where Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'atorah mos konos," that the way to buy a bag of potatoes min haTorah is to give cash. And it's machlekes amarot in Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lachish. Rish Lachish says, "V'atorah meshiches kona." Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'atorah mos konos." Now, Lemaisa, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that Moshe are not konas. Because Lemaisa, Rabbi Yochanan agrees there was a din mid derabanan that we shouldn't rely on Moshe konos, because it's a little bit too dangerous. Not the best thing for the world of business, because what's going to happen is that I'm going to give you the cash, and the property, the commodities are still sitting in your storehouse. A fire is going to break out, and you're not going to bother doing anything. You have the cash in your hand, so it's going to be a big, big fight. It's going to be led. But therefore, Chazal said, you know what, that model, that surah of Dvatar Moshe konos is not going to work. It works in the perfect world of very honest, caring, compassionate people, but unfortunately the world doesn't always live up to those standards, and therefore, mid Rabbanan, we have to implement certain dinim de Rabbanan. That's a common theme in dinim Mamanus. Sometimes, you know, we wonder, you know, there are many dinim and dinim Mamanus that Chazal, in a sense, changed the dinim deraisa. They have a lot more leeway in dinim Mamanus than in other areas because of hefker beis and hefker. So Chazal have to assess each society and see, are they living up to the standards? You know, if you have a Heilig Tzadikim, just came off of Matan Torah, and Ve'ela Mishpat B'Shatasim Lefneim, so everyone's not just following the Din, but everyone's following the Fnei Mishus Din, everyone's following Yosha, everyone's starting to be kind and chesed to one another. So then a lot of the Tikkunim and Dinim Mamanus you don't need. you know, if everyone's telling the truth and everyone's honest and everyone's just and everyone's kind and compassionate, so then great. So then you have the basic dinim. You have shmira and you get the dinim of Malv Loiv, a little bit of dinim of shmira, a little spattering of Nezikin and shine and move on. But the reality is that people aren't always so nice. People aren't so honest to each other. So therefore, Chazal realized that we're living in a time and a place. I guess we're still living in that time and place where people are not going to be as honest and as kind to each other. And once I have the money, I'm going to take the money and run. So therefore, the Rabbanan, they instituted Kiri Mashiach rather than Kiri Kesef. In the perfect world, Dvatar Mos Kones. What's the source for Dvatar Mos Kones? Where did that come from, Dvatar Mos Kones? So it's interesting that the Gemara never gives you a Bakur. The Gemara never tells you, you never ask the question. So we spoke about this in the past, that in the absence of the Gemara's question, some Rishonim said that we can be medayik from the fact that the Gemara didn't ask the question. It's a raya that there's no source in the Chumash for it. It's a svar pshuta. That's what the Ramban writes. If there would have been a pasuk, the Gemara would have asked what the pasuk was. From the fact that the Gemara didn't ask a pasuk, it's obvious that you don't need a pasuk. What's the makor? Business. It's business 101. You go to the store. If I take a poll of 100 people standing in line in ShopRite and ask them, how would you acquire these potatoes? How do I acquire the potatoes? When I give the money to the cashier, that's how I acquire the potatoes. So the Ramban says, you're right, I agree. So the Ramban, the Torah agrees. Lamli cross of Arahu. But other Rishonim didn't say it. Other Rishonim say that there has to be some makor. And the question is, where is that mysterious makor? The Gemara never says it. So different Rishonim search for different possible makoros in the Torah Shemichsav for the basis for Rabbi Yochanan's statements. The Rif has a different makor, legamre. The Rif says it's not a svara. It's based on the mid of Kal v'chomer. Dinim that I learned out from Kal v'chomer are dinim deraisa. We say Rabbi Shmuel Omer, usually in Shir and Yeshiva. So we get to a point where I'll quote a Kal v'chomer or something. So I'll say to the boys, I assume everybody daven shachris. No, I say Shir at 1:15 every day. So except on Tuesdays and Fridays. I'm assuming by 1 o'clock everybody daven shachris. So then the next question I pose is, did everybody say Rabbi Shmuel Omer? So some people came late, and Mr. Rabbi Shmuel didn't make it up afterwards. So when I say Shia 6:20 in the morning, it's not fair to ask everybody, did everybody say Rabbi Shmuel yet? Probably most people didn't, myself included, didn't say Rabbi Shmuel. How high we said Rav Satara this morning? But in the midas of Rabbi Shmuel, so Kavachayma, any din that's learned out from Kavachayma takes on the status of a din minatara. The mid of Kavachayma is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the dinim that are derived from Kavachayma take on the status of being dinim deraisa. So the Rif says that when Rabbi Yochanan says the Torah Mos Kodos, what he meant was based on the following Kal V'chomer, that the Torah does say if you want to buy an Eved Ivri, so you buy an Eved Ivri with Kinyan Kesef. This one's Pasha. One of the methods of acquisition of an Eved Ivri is because also you buy an Eved Ivri through a Kinyan Kesef. So the Rif says the Kal V'chomer, Madach, you could buy his body with Kesef. You can't buy a measly bag of potatoes with Kesef. So in Gufo Koner, but Mano Lokol Shekein. So that Kavachom already appears in Chazal. There's already Gemara Becheres that has that Kavachom in a little bit of a different context. So comes the Rif and says, that's the Mokof of Tvatar Mos Kodos. So you have Machlokes min HaKotze LaKotze. From one extreme to another in the Rishonim, is there a need for a Pasuk to teach us that Metaltlan HaNikden B'Kesef? Or there's no need? At the end of the day, everybody ends up at the same place. All the Rabbi Yechon people end up with Tvatar Mos Kodos. It's just a technical question how we got there. It's like very often halach, yeah. Very often sugars you have, everyone ends up at the same place. Just the different halach of dollars when you press your way. So multiple routes. So a lot of different routes. Some routes can take you a half hour. Some can take an hour and a half. So in some ways they'll bypass different things. But at the end of the day, everyone ends up at the same place. Does it make a difference how we got there, what the route is? Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's very important to know what the route was, because sometimes the suas will teach us things along the way. If it's learned off misvara, then it may be bound by one set of halachas. If it's learned off from a Kal V'chomer, it may be governed by a different set of halachas. So it's not just, you know, arbitrary. Well, I think the book was this, I think the book was that. Every once in a while, the Gemara will raise a question, the Gemara will quote a din, and the Gemara will quote two different sources for the same din. And very often the Gemara will ask, "My benai, what's the difference?" So sometimes the Gemara will say, "Mashmos darshanik benai." So that default position, "Mashmos darshan," means there's really no real nafkamina. It's just there are different ways of getting to the same conclusion. But very often the Gemara will say, "My benai, ike benai, x, y, and z." If you learn now from x, so then the din is such and such. Learn from y, the din is such and such. So here the Rishonim are debating what's the source. So the Rif had his Kal V'chomer, the Ramban had his Svara, but that was all the introduction. We want Rashi's pshat. Rashi, in Bava Metzia, is that way to, is it muting or?
All participants are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So comes Rashi, in Bava Metzia, on Daf Nun Beis, I'm sorry, not Daf Mevav. Rashi says, I'll give you another Mokhut. Yemes of Mokhut says Rashi is, Menani Mili, that Mos HaKainis by Metatlin, it's a Beferish Apostle in Chumash. Venosa HaKesef HaKamlo. Now, it's a little bit of a misnomer to say that's a Beferish Apostle in Chumash. The Bakaris will tell us there's no such Pasuk. There is no Pasuk. Venosa HaKesef, sometimes you read the Gemara, you get the impression, Venosa HaKesef HaKamlo, there's some Pasuk, there's no such Pasuk. What the Pasuk is, V'yosef Kesef Chamesh, I don't remember exactly. Kesef Chamesh Zerkech Allah become low. There's a 15 word pasuk that Chazal almost, meant it's too hard to write. V'yosef Kesef Chamesh Shkalim Allah become low. So when Chazal quote that quote unquote pasuk, they abridged it a little bit. Not that Chalila, they were telling you that's what says in the Chumash, but V'yosef Kesef is just a quicker, more efficient way of quoting that concept of Pidyon Hekdesh that appears in much more Arichos in the pasuk and Pashat book, I say. So comes Rashi in Bamitzi and says the source for buying potatoes in ShopRite is Venasan Akesef Akamlo. What does that have to do with buying potatoes in ShopRite? That's talking about being paid the Hekdesh from the Beis Hamikdash. So what do you see clearly from Rashi? Rashi understood that fundamentally Pidyon Hekdesh is really a Maisa Kinyan. The reason why Hekdesh becomes Padoi is because I paid for it. I gave money to the Beis Hamikdash, so I bought the Hekdesh. Once I buy the Hekdesh, it's no longer Mamon Hekdesh. Once it's no longer Mamon Hekdesh, but maybe it's not Kodesh anymore. So Rashi says, what's the difference whether you're purchasing a Dovashal Hekdesh from the Bedek Abayis, from the Beis HaMikdash, or whether you're buying potatoes from ShopRite, whether you're buying a car from a used car dealer, it's all the same principle. Do you see from Parshas Pidyon Hekdesh that the Torah recognizes the method of transaction, the method of trading with Altalim, is through the giving of Kesef. So just as Kesef affects a Pidyon, because a Pidyon Hekdesh is nothing more than just a fancy Kinyan Kesef, we can extrapolate, we can derive a din for other types of business transactions, Dvar Torah Mos Kodesh. So that's quite an eye-opener according to Rashi, but that Rashi definitely is in line with what Reb Chaim is saying. That's what Reb Chanan quotes in the part that I left out. Reb Chanan quotes that when he starts his discussion, what is Pidyon Hekdesh? So he says, Yadua Mefursam, what's Pidyon Hekdesh? Ayin Rashi Reb Metzia. Rashi's presentation of Venasa Kesef Kamo serving as the source for Kinyan Kesef is clearly assuming that Pidyon Hekdesh is a Kinyan. That may be true with Das Rashi, but now maybe we could argue and say maybe that's exactly why other Rishonim didn't want to go down Rashi's route. Maybe that's exactly why the Rif said, no, that's not the Machar. And maybe that's exactly why the Ramban says there is no Machar. It's only a Svara. Rashi's Pshat is a grape shot. So why did other Rishonim apparently disagree with Rashi's Pshat? Could it be that they're arguing about this very Nakuda? Could it be that the reason why they disagree with Rashi's Pshat is because they hold in the heart of hearts Pidyon Hekdesh is not a Maisa Kinyan. Pidyon Hekdesh is Yoredei. Pidyon Hekdesh is Issa V'Heter. Pidyon Hekdesh is part of the realm of Mitzvahs Beram L'Makom. It's not Parshas HaMishpatim. It's not part of Dinim Mamonis. Once you say that Pidyon Hekdesh is not part of Dinim Mamonis, it would be a very big stretch to say, well, that serves as the source for Kinyan Kesef. Kinyan Kesef is Mishpatim. Pidyon Hekdesh is Parshas B'Chukaisai. There's no connection between the two parshas. One's Issa V'Heter, between you and the Beis HaMikdash. One is between you and your friend, if Dinim Mamonis. So Rashi does say it. There's no question Rashi says it. There's no question what the lumpness of Rashi is, but it could be the other Rishonim don't buy into this. But this is all the background to our discussion. So now we have three Dinim, three sugyas that are all converging together to try to make sense out of, to try to figure out what exactly is going on. So the first sugya is Agamara. Agamara is relating Pidyon Hekdesh to Kedushin. The Gemara is going back and forth and jumping back and forth between Pidyon Hekdesh and Kedushin. That's one sugya. The second sugya is Bamitzia Dafman Beis, where Chizkiya taught us that if you run short on your Maisa Sheni, you're a little bit, the Maisa Sheni doesn't have enough value to it, just stick it on for good luck, let it hang on for good luck to the previous Pidyon. You have to understand what that din is all about. And number three, you have the Rashi and Bamitzia in the fourth parak. Rashi sees as the source for buying potatoes and ShopRite something to do with Pidyon Hekdesh. So now we have all three sugyas. Now we can begin to get into the discussion between the Ge'ayne Eilam, between Reb Chaim and his Talmud Reb Chanan, how to tell these two great minds analyze the combination of these three sugyas. So comes Reb Chanan, the 12th of the Rambam Kabbos, and says as follows. Ulefi Zekosha. He just quoted the Nasan HaKesef Ari B'Chilo. So he just came off of quoting the 12th of the Rambam Kabbos, just came off of quoting the Rashi about the source of buying potatoes. The Venasa and the Kesav Arbi Chilu, Lufi Zekosha. Bahadiyah Mechizkiyah, Maise Sheini She'ein Bo Shabbat Pruta, Oy Mehu V'Chum Shom V'Chul Al Mosa Rishonim, That's the quote out of Bamatzia. So, if Rector Bochanan, v'ineima de'ef shalachilu below dine kinyan, if you're going to tell me that chilu is rooted in kinyan, the only way to be mechal things is to be kona the item. My mahani had the most harishonus. He says, what in the world is Chizkiya talking about? He says, if you tell me that a chilu or pidyon must be through Parsha Zekinyonim, you cannot buy something with less than a Sheva Pruta. He said, when anybody says such an absurd thing, I want to buy an object from you, and it's not worth a Pruta, no problem. Well, last week I sold you something, I gave you a little bit of extra, so let that piggyback on last week's Kinyon. What's the Leitzana to say such a thing? How can you say that? He said, Parshas Kinyonim is the here and now. I'm selling you this potato. The fact that I sold you a car for extra money last week, what does that mean? How does that affect Parshas Kinyonim? The Svar of Chizkiya is an Issa V'Hetta type of Svar. Just like in the esoteric world of Issa V'Hetta, in the realm of Ketchum and Hekdesh, so we can kind of, you know, merge together, fuse together last week's pidyon with this week's pidyon. But in terms of hardcore Dini Mamanis, so Rebbe Chanan says he can't believe such an idea would exist. So Im Kain, says Rebbe Chanan, once you say that Chizkiya's din doesn't play out in regular dini mamas, would not play out in Parshas Kinyonim. So then what is Chizkiya telling us about the essence of pidyon? Isn't Chizkiya telling us that equation that we had about pidyon equals kinyon is not correct? That doesn't bode well, because that equation, we didn't make up that equation, pidyon equals kinyon. We based it on our Gemara, we based it on Rashi and Bava Metzia. In effect, what the question Rebbe Chanan is asking is, well, we have three sugyas. Two of them are pointing yes in the direction of pidyon kinyon, and one of them is pointing in the non-connection between pidyon and kinyon. So, so comes Rebbe Chanan and he says at the end of the third line, v'itzeisi kushazu lifnei mori v'rabi Reb Chaim Halevi Zetzal. He said, I posed this question to my Rebbe, to Reb Chaim, and what was the answer? V'heshivli b'ktsara. He said, Reb Chaim responded to me with five words. De'ein raya mehekdesh l'maisa sheni, ad kan l'sheni. Reb Chaim responded back to Reb Chanan that your kasha for maisa sheni is not impacting on what's being said about hekdesh. Ad kan de Reb Chaim. So what did Reb Chaim tell us in those five words? So what the Halakha Reb Chaim said, Reb Chaim told Reb Chanan was that you are correct that pidyon hekdesh is derech kinyan, but you are incorrect about pidyon maisa sheni. That pidyon hekdesh and pidyon maisa sheni are not created equal. They're not the same parasha. They're two different halachas. One works through the mechanism of kinyan, and one does not work through the mechanism of kinyan. Therefore, Reb Chaim responded back to Reb Chanan, the Rashi in Bav Metzia that speaks about v'nosan akesef akamlo, pidyon hekdesh as being the source for a kinyan kesef in dinei mamonos of dinei hediot, that stands, because that's talking about pidyon hekdesh. Pidyon hekdesh is kinyanim. The sugi about Chizkiya, about maisei sheni she'en bo sheva pruta, Chizkiya never said hekdesh she'en bo sheva pruta. Chizkiya said maisei sheni she'en bo sheva pruta. Maisei sheni luchud and hekdesh luchud. Hekdesh is a kinyan kesef, maisei sheni is a maisei pidyon. Those are the five words of response to Reb Chaim. Now, before we get to the obvious problem with this very, very particular Nimrod's answer of Reb Chaim, so we have to explain a little bit conceptually, what in the world does that mean? What sounds almost arbitrary. Pidyon hekdesh is this, pidyon maisa sheni is this, and this is kinyanim, this is not kinyanim, and shoyanim, and call it a day. There's got to be much, something much more profound, much deeper to the five words of Reb Chaim. But there's going to be a big, big problem. No matter how we're going to explain this, no matter what lumdus we're going to explain, let's not forget who got us down this road in the first place. Who was the first one who introduced it? Why are we learning this sugya? We're on condition that, hey, well, the reason why we're learning this sugya is because our Gemara compared Kedushin to what? To Pidyon Hekdesh and to Pidyon Maisa Sheni. How did our Gemara start? And the very first thing in my Makamos, Ma Toma Bishtar She'ein Pidyon Hekdesh Maisa Sheni. The Gemara mixed in Hekdesh and Maisa Sheni into one. And who was the Adam Gadol? Who was the Ga'ina Ga'inim who pointed out to us, the Raya from our Gemara, that Pidyon Hekdesh and Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni are very much Derech HaKinyonim. That was Reb Chaim himself. Reb Chaim in the 10th of the Mamakamas was the one who got this ball rolling. He's the one who was bedayik from our Gemara, the Mala Hekdesh Ma'aseh Sheni, they're both Parshas HaKinyonim. He was the one who used that Yisoid to answer Tosfos Kashya in Bava Kamma from yesterday. What's the difference between Pidyon Hekdesh between Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni and Pidyon Petach Chamor? And Reb Chaim said the Yisod was that Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is Kinyonim. In these five words that Reb Chaim told Reb Chanan, all of that is undermined. All of that is disagreed upon. We have two different traditions from Reb Chaim. We have two different versions of what Reb Chaim said. Now again, it's not shocking. Reb Chaim, like any other human being, Reb Chaim was a very, very great human being, but Afal Bichain, human beings sometimes change their mind. Reb Chaim himself changed his mind many times. If you take a look at the biographies of Reb Chaim, they'll tell you that one tkufa he said a shiur like this, then 20 years they rethought the sugya and so said a little bit of a different twist. So there's Lefianias Daiti. Reb Chaim is saying two different things. There are two different stages, two different times. Reb Chaim is saying two different yesodas. That in one place, Reb Chaim in his own sefer and on the Rambam, Reb Chaim is going the ikvos this idea that not only is Pidyon Hekdesh a kinyan, Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is also a kinyan. What do you do with the Chizki? I'm not sure. He doesn't address it in his sefer, but there's no question that Reb Chaim in his sefer held that they're both pashas kinyanim, and there's no question that in those five word answers that he gave to Reb Chanan, I don't know. Reb Chaim Sefer was written later, if I'm not mistaken. That was written towards much, much later in his life. But when he spoke to Reb Chanan, so to answer Reb Chanan Taina from the din of Chizkiya, Reb Chaim presented this chiluk, this distinction between Pidyon Hekdesh and Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni. So I'm not here to resolve the two Reb Chaims. I think that Reb Chaim changed his mind. Reb Chaim, and one tkufa was assuming that both of them are Parshas HaKinyanim, and another tkufa was assuming that only one of them is Parshas HaKinyanim. But what we have to understand is, we have to understand the lumdus of Reb Chaim as presented to Reb Chanan. So, you know, to say that they're both Parshas HaKinyanim, that I can buy. To say that neither is Parshas HaKinyanim and try to finagle around the Gemaras, we can buy that also. What becomes much more difficult is the gray area. It's almost like in life, like Lahavdil. Well, it's usually very easy to present the extreme positions, the kitzoni positions. When you explain that everything is all black, so you can usually logically it's very easy to explain that. To explain everything is all white is usually very easy also to explain logically. The most extreme positions are easy to explain. They're not necessarily correct, but they may be the easiest to get. The most difficult positions to defend are when you have gray. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's sometimes like this. When I ask somebody, what's the dinner? They say, well, it depends. So then you have to really explain very well, it depends on what. How does that small factor change everything? So Reb Chaim, as quoted to Reb Chanan, is walking the halachic tightrope, because you have to explain away why Pidyon Hekdesh is, in fact, Kinyonim. Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is not Kinyonim. What is it so radically different between Pidyon? To me, it looks the same thing. This is a Davar Kaddish, that's a Davar Kaddish. This is cash, this is cash. Why is it conceptually that one is one way and one so fundamentally, radically is the other way? That needs a lot more biradover. That's the walking of the tightrope. I saw I think it was Rav Dessler quotes. I just was reading the biography of Rav Dessler recently. Someone was sitting on my table in the house. I'm not sure exactly. You know, so I picked it up one night and I was like fiddling through. If I'm not mistaken, I think he quotes a mashal from one of the Bali Musar who was fascinated because there was a tightrope who came to town, and he was watching the tightroper, and he said the Gevaldika, the Malin Musik, lifts the tightrope. If you notice, when you walk the tightrope, you never stay still. You have to always be moving, because the minute that you stay still, then you lose your balance. So as long as you're walking forward, even though you're inching forward, you're not running across the tide, you're inching forward, as long as you're always going forward, that's going to keep you from tumbling over the end. So it's like a Valdek Busser. He says, as long as you're moving in life, so that will ensure that you're going up in Ruchnias, even at a snail's pace. But if you're going up in Ruchnias, the minute that you stay static, then you tumble over to fall. So when you're walking this halachic tightrope, we can't just rest on our laurels and say, we may have to rest because the shiur is going to be over in a few minutes. We can't just say, well, okay, Pidyon Hekdesh is this, Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is this, and move on to the next thing. You know, if you want to be able to complete this thought, you have to be able to explain it very, very well. So Reb Chanan tries to explain it. So Reb Chanan continues, after hearing those surprising words from Reb Chaim, so Reb Chanan picks up in the fourth line, he says, towards the end of the line, Vahainu, this is what he thinks is Rabbi Reb Chaim meant. Vahainu. The afilu im noima the lechilul hekdesh tzarach din a kinyan, become ok ma'aseh sheni ain okay. V'niratam devarav l'fi hanal. To be hekdesh, hakedusha he betolada mehakinyan. V'heichashen is batal hakinyan, batal hakedusha me'eleha. Says hekdesh, what made something kadosh in the first place? What? How does something become kadosh? Why is it that when you have a davar kadosh, I can't use it? There's an issa me'ila. Where does that issa come from? Says Rabbi Chanan, the other rise that is yisod. When you makdish something, so the very act of hekdesh starts out as a kinyan. What you're basically doing when you makdish something is, like the Gemara says, "Ami rasla gavokim si rasla hediot." To sell things to a hediot, to a friend, there are kinyan. There's meshicha, masira, agba, etc. To sell things to the base of mikdash, ishkiyafli, dibur. That is the dibur, the amir, the nedir to give something to the base of mikdash is the ma'aseh kinyan. The amirasla gavokim si rasla. That's a mishnah later on in Maseches Kiddushin. The very act of hekdesh is an act of kinyan. Once the item belongs to the base of mikdash, memela is an isser of meila. Meila is a gezela of mamon hediot. I'm sorry, of mamon hekdesh. The very institution of hekdesh works through parshas kinyanim. So something becomes kadosh through kinyanim. If that's the case, now I understand. Easy come, easy go. Literally, pesha also pesha hit there. If the whole isser of meila emanates from the fact that it's mamon hekdesh, then the heter me'ila, i.e., the fact that it's now chulin, that results from hafka of that kinyan. So the same way that the Torah says that you makna something to hekdesh through dibur, the Torah says you buy it back from hekdesh, not through dibur, but rather through kesef. So the whole institution of hekdesh lends itself to pidyon being mitam kinyan, because the very institution of hekdesh in the first place, because the very iser of hekdesh came about because of kinyan. Masha enkein. We skip down a little bit. It's five lines to the bottom, the third line on the line. It's totally opposite. The Maisa Sheni is an act of Hakdosha. Maisa Sheni is, I declare these apples are going to be Maisa Sheni. Once they're Maisa Sheni, Mela, they become the property of Maisa Sheni as well. It's a question of literally chicken before the egg. What's causing what? Everybody agrees when all the dust settles, Maaseh Sheni ends up belonging to Maaseh Sheni, whatever that means. There's an Isser Achila Chutzli Yerushalayim, there's an Isser Achila Metuma. There are dinim of Isser V'Heter on Maaseh Sheni. There are dinim of Isser V'Heter that apply to Hekdesh. But what caused what is radically different. That Maaseh Sheni was a Maaseh of Hafrosha. I was mafresh the Tumas and Maisris. Once a mafresh the Maisa Sheni, memeinu the Yisur Machal on the Maisa Sheni. When it comes to Hekdesh, first it goes through the vehicle of Kinyonim, and then and only then the Isurim begin to be Chal on it. Says Rabbi Chanan, I'll bring you a proof that Hekdesh works through a very, very strange method, through Kinyon first, Isurim later, not like Maisa Sheni. There's a din that appears at the end of Maseches Chulin, where the Gemara tells us, what if you have a chicken that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash? What are they going to do with the chicken? They can't bring it as a carbon. Chicken's not it's a kosher bird, but not kosher to be a carbon. So eventually they're going to have to sell the chicken and use the money for something. So somebody donated the chicken to the Beis HaMikdash. So wonderful. The gizbar comes, he picks up the chicken, he's bringing the chicken up to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to sell it on the auction fair. What we're going to do with it? Get a couple of dollars. We're going to do a paint job in the Beis HaMikdash. Sure. And the process of bringing the chicken gets loose. But the Gemara goes, Tanagol Shamarda, it rebels. And the chicken squawks, runs away, and it's running all over the place, and the gizmo's running after the chicken's down the road, and right out of the room. So comes the Gemara and says, Tanagol Shamarda, Pachar Kedushasa. The chicken is not Kaddish anymore. If somebody else finds this chicken and shechts it, Shalom Aisel, Hetagama, there's no Isser of Me'ila. What happened? There was no pigeon. Where'd the pigeon go? What happened to the pigeon? So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, the only way to explain Pshat this Gemara is to say, what gave the Beis HaMikdash, what gave it Kedushas Hekdesh, what gave it Isurim, is the fact that it's Mamon Hekdesh. The Beis HaMikdash can't own something that's running wild. If it ran away, if it's Marga, if it left, so it's Ois Bailas. That's Poka Bailas. Bailas doesn't exist on something that's running around out of total, complete loss of control. You can't own something that's totally, completely out of your control. So comes Rabbi Chanan and says, would somebody say that din is true when it comes to Maaseh Sheni? You have a chicken in Maaseh Sheni. How do you have a chicken in Maaseh Sheni? You have apples in Maaseh Sheni. You pull to the apples in Maaseh Sheni on cash. You use that cash to buy a chicken. So that chicken becomes Kaddish B'Kedushas Maaseh Sheni. And what if that chicken runs away? Zochter B'Chanan, There's no such din of Tarnagolish from Ma'aseh Sheni Pachkudush Asai. You know why? Because Ma'aseh Sheni's Kedusha didn't come from Parshas Kinyanim. Ma'aseh Sheni's Kedusha came from being Makdisha, from being Mafresh. It's Kedusha's Ma'aseh Sheni. So says Rabbi Chanan, the reason why Ma'aseh Sheni and Hekdesh part ways in terms of Chilu is because they parted ways in terms of Akdosha in the first place. So Akoponim says, Rabbi Chanan, this is the beer. He thinks this is the correct beer, Pedas Reb Chaim. This is Reb Chaim as the presentation to Rabbi Chanan as to explain away the difference between Ma'aseh Sheni and Hekdesh. But in the back of our minds, we're still very, very concerned with this because we want one night there to say that the two are not different from one another, actually identical. Proof positive was our Gemara condition of Hey, which was ultimately brought to us by Rabbi Chaim himself in a Sefer in the Rambam. So just to give us a little bit of an inkling into the world of the Gedolei Olam between Rabbi Chaim and Talmud Rabbi Chanan and how they pilpled back and forth and back and forth with the three Gemaras. One Gemara sounds one way, two Gemaras sound the other way. Where do you go with that? So Rabbi Chaim seemed to go in one direction in one place. Rabbi Chaim went in another direction in another place. And Rabbi Chanan tried to pick up the pieces, trying to figure out what Rav Chaim meant and the different nuances of what Rav Chaim said. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, on Friday, we'll put the final touch on the sugya, that after this whole Shtikl Torah that he heard from his Rebbe, Rabbi Chanan says, V'lulei divrei Rabbi's al, if not for that, I have another beer. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem will try to complete the sugya with Rabbi Chanan's beer and see where this takes us, making the full circle back to the condition of Hamad.